going to see what's going to be there. So, with that, let's move on to our message this morning. As we're looking through Seek God for the City, if you look at the back, it's kind of got a synopsis on each, you know, for each week, what's happening. Last week was revival, and this week it's awakening for those who are far from God. And as I was praying about that particular topic, saying, God, you know, where should I go in your word that talks about awakening, spiritual awakening of those who are far from God? And I felt that the Lord led me to the parable, or the, not really the parable, but the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. This is definitely a story about spiritual awakening. So that's where we're going to go this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 4. If you don't, it'll be up on the screen. But I encourage you, bring your own Bible. You can jot notes, highlight, underline, etc. Okay. Again, chapter 4, starting with verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. It's about the middle of the day. So, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? And are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And he told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you are now with is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked him, "What do you want? What are you talking with you, her? Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, Please no. Then leaving her water jar. She left the water jar. The woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you do meet us where we are. And then, Lord, you seek to awaken us and give us that which we truly need. Lord, as we read your word this morning, as I preach your word this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be present here. Lord, I ask that your anointing would be upon me right now. That all that is spoken would be according to your will and your word and be by your power. Lord, let your truth lodge itself, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and in our lives. And might it be visible in every aspect of all that we do. Father, we want to meet with you. We want to know you more. So be here with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus decides to leave one area and go to another. He's got to go through Samaria. And Samaritans and Jews don't get along. Hasn't changed much. A couple thousand years. Still have this tension. But what has changed, what happened here, is we see something amazing. God opened my eyes to something which I hadn't realized before. And this is not the first time I've read this passage. It's not even the second time I've read this passage. It's not even the 20th time I've read this passage. You know what I saw? Jesus never dealt with her felt need. Now, usually we talk about you need to meet somebody where they're at. You got to deal with the felt need first before you can start presenting the gospel to them. Now, Jesus does deal with the felt need. He does address it, but he doesn't meet it. He doesn't satisfy it. What was her felt need? Water. Thirsty. We see that when she left her water container behind. She never even bothered to fill the thing. How'd that happen? I thought she was thirsty. I thought that was the need. That was what was going on there. I mean, that's certainly what I was taught in some of my missionary classes and missions classes. I was told, you got to meet that felt need. No, you don't. Jesus didn't meet the felt need. He addressed it, but he didn't meet it. Sometimes he does. He had some people who he met that were hungry. He had tied a whole bunch of them on a hillside. He fed them. He had some other people that he met that had a need for healing. Some were blind. Some had leprosy. Some couldn't walk. Various things. Demon possessed. That. So, you know, we see these things and we say, oh, okay, every time Jesus met somebody, he dealt, finished, he addressed, he fulfilled that need. No, not every time. This is the first time I noticed that Jesus didn't meet the need for real water. It was there. In fact, he asked for a drink. And she was there because she was a social outcast, middle of the day. You know, normally all the women would go out either in the cool of the day, either the beginning of the day or the evening to get water. So why was she out there in the middle of the day when it's hot? Because she was a social outcast, even amongst a group that was considered social outcasts. You know, as the Jews were the majority people group, the Samaritans, they lived in their own area, but they weren't, you know, we don't associate with them so much. But Jesus, when he talked with her, he did address the need. You know, said, you're thirsty. You know, he asked, so I was there, give me a drink of water. What are you doing talking to me? How can you ask me, somebody who is probably the most needy person in this community, for something? He's addressing her felt need of thirst and also companionship, interaction. She didn't realize it, but what she really needed was to be spiritually awakened. She was very much spiritually asleep. We see this as she's going through here. You know, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And would say to him, sir, give me this water so I don't have to get thirsty and have to come here to draw water. What? Okay, obviously he's talking about something spiritual. I'm going to give you a drink and you never get thirsty again. She said, oh, give me this. I don't want to have to keep drawing water. She was spiritually asleep. This week, Seek God for the City, they're telling us they want us to be praying for those who are spiritually asleep, that they might awake. What Jesus is doing here is waking up the spiritual need and the knowledge that this woman has a spiritual need within her. It's asleep. Because she is all concerned first about her felt need. That's her primary focus. As she comes to the well, you come to the well to get water. Most of us here, what do we all get water? The refrigerator, the sink, you know. We don't have to work so hard for it here. Some places you got to work pretty hard for it. In fact, a good part of the world, they got to work very hard for water. Even here in the United States, there's places that have more water than others. You know, out west, you know, they get a little, you know, they look at the Colorado River and they're going, man, is there going to be enough water for Los Angeles? You know, you got farmers and ranchers going, is there going to be enough? I got to feed and water my crops and my livestock. You can't take it all to Los Angeles. You know, here in Minnesota, you can't get away from the stuff. You know, Waters that water everywhere. I mean, land of 10,000 lakes. That's 10,000 lakes of 10,000 acres or more, you know, kind of thing. Maybe not quite that big, but it's still quite large. Places that we call a pond, in a lot of places they call that a lake. The Sea of Galilee is smaller than Lake Mille Lacs. Think about that. The surface area of the Sea of Galilee, it's deeper. Lake Mille Lacs is shallow. But the surface area of Lake Mille Lacs is bigger than the surface area of the Sea of Galilee. We go, wow, water. We got a lot of it. We don't think about it. But when I was in Liberia last year, every morning, saw whole families come chopping up to the well, pump the water, haul it home for the day. In the evening, same thing happened again. People would get water before supper time so that they had water for cooking and for the evening. And it was every day. If you were big enough to walk, you were big enough to carry water. Little kids walking, they start out with little peaty buckets. But they were carrying some water. Started them out small. Then you had kids that, about this big, carrying a bucket about just about the same size. Why? Because it needs to be done. They need to carry water. And Jesus is talking about spiritual water. And this woman's still thinking, I'm not going to have to carry water. It takes a while for the penny to drop, for the light bulb to come on. Whatever phrase you want to get, it's kind of like, oh! The penny drop here is in verse 29. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? The penny has dropped here. This woman's finally got it. Oh! We see the awakening as she goes into the discussion of spiritual stuff. And instead of, first she tries to pick a fight. Okay, in this whole awakening process, she's picking a fight. Okay, now listen to what verse 17 and 18, and then verse 19. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Okay, now she's understanding it. Hold it. Okay, now I'm dealing with somebody a little bit different here. Okay, you're a prophet. Okay, I'm a little bit awake now. Now we're talking spiritual stuff. Penny hasn't dropped. I'm still not fully awake. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Obviously, if we have a prophet, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. Obviously, what I should do is pick a fight. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews, claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem. Wow. Okay, let's not go for the small ones first. Let's just bring out the big elephant in the room. Okay, that's the big sticking point between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Samaritans saying, well, we want to worship over here, and they're saying the only place you can worship is in the temple. Well, you won't let us come in there because we're not fully Jews, so we're going to stay out here. This is the sticking point. She tries to pick a fight. Now, he just offered her living water. Now she's trying to pick a fight. This is what happened to Jesus as he is trying to pray and help somebody through their spiritual awakening. Guess what's going to happen to you as you pray for people to be spiritually awakened? There's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. It's just not going to be, oh, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for bringing this up. I'm so glad that you mentioned it. This gal picked a fight with him. Jesus didn't let her distract him from his purpose. His purpose was to bring to her the gospel message, to bring to her the good news, to give her living water. He wasn't going to get distracted. It says, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. This is what's going on. Jesus is bringing it home to her. And now she's starting to get it. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. And Jesus says that He is the one. So as we seek to do this, to emulate what Jesus has done with this woman, awaken those who are far from God. Because this woman was literally far from God. She wasn't living a godly life. She was of a people who were estranged from the family of God. Not allowed to come in to the place of worship. And Jesus is reeling her in, bringing her in, saying, "You're welcome." How are we going to do this? How do we do this? Well, He points it out to us here in verse 38. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work. Okay, in order to reap, there must be sowing. Somebody else has sown. And what Jesus is talking about there is He's sown the seeds already with this woman and this group. And they're unaware, His disciples are unaware that they got the whole Samaritan village on their way to be harvested. They're coming. The woman left. Jesus knows the whole village is coming out to see Him and the disciples. And the disciples are more concerned, well, who gave him a sandwich? Why isn't he hungry? He said, no, you guys are confused. Look what's going to happen here. I've already prepared the way. What did he do? Well, he prayed. Hold it, he didn't pray. Yeah, he did. What's our definition of prayer? A conversation with God. Did or did not this woman have a conversation with God? Anybody? Yes. That's what prayer prepared the ground. We can have a conversation with God. Other people can have a conversation. That's how it's seed is sown. And the disciples were just sitting there. They didn't even know the harvest was on its way. The field wasn't just ripe unto harvest. The field was coming to them. If this is not Northbrook people, I don't know how else you can describe it. 20 years ago, 94% white population. Last year, 2010 census, 51% non-white population. If you look within the boundaries of Brooklyn Center, we have 100 languages spoken. The world has come here. We've been praying for the harvest. Guess what? It's arrived. We just have to reap it. We need to pray for that spiritual awakening. Okay, first, before we can do that, we need to pray for the burden. Okay, Jesus' disciples, they didn't have the burdens of the Samaritan people yet. Jesus did. So we need that burden. We need to pray, God, give us the burden to pray and see them as truly our brothers and sisters in Christ, yet to be. They are our future brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to pray for the burden of those who are spiritually asleep, that they would be awoken. That we could be part of that whole awakening process. That God would use us in that. Second, we need to pray that someone will stop and enter in to their need. Doesn't mean that they need to satisfy the need. I'm finding this very freeing for me. I've got a family. They need a house. I don't have a house. I don't have room in my house to invite another family in. Can I enter into their need? Can I at least go and talk with them? Can I come alongside and say, and help what I can, at least maybe point into some programs, or at least just listen to their heartache? I can do that. You got somebody who has a physical issue, an ailment, a disability. I know one young man. Ed's been ministering to him. He lost the use of his legs recently. I can't give him new legs. I cannot restore him. If God chooses to miraculously heal him, I'll praise him, and I've prayed for healing for him, but God has not yet done this. So if his felt need is to walk, am I stuck there? Can I not go any farther? No. He can be spiritually awoke long before he walks. Maybe that needs to happen before he will walk. I don't know. But what I do know is that I can share. I can enter into that need and be part of it, even if I can't satisfy it completely. Yeah, I can give somebody who's hungry a sandwich. I can even give somebody who doesn't have a place to sleep a place for the night. But does that fix the problem? No. But it does allow me to come in and get past just the felt need. Because that's really not what's the most important thing in their life, is it? It's their relationship with Jesus. But until they know that I actually care about them and where they're at, they're not going to listen to anything else I've got to say, nor anything else you have to say. We pray that God will give us or somebody will enter in and share the gospel with them. Plant that seed and water it. The next one by will water it, do the same thing. Pray that the one spiritually asleep will be woken. We'll begin to wake up. Why are these people coming and visiting me and praying with me? Even when I get ornery with them. Even when I'm not nice. Ooh, hold it. Back up. Pastor, you're telling me that I need to pray with somebody and continue to visit them even if they're not nice to me when I do so? Uh-huh. This woman picked a fight with Jesus. Did he turn away from her? Say, fine. You want to pick a fight with me? I'm not going to lead you the rest of the way. He let the fight kind of just roll off his back like water off duck's back. Acknowledge, yeah, there's an issue there. But that's really not what's going to happen. What's really important is this. God wants this. Pray that God will use you as the one who does the hard work, laying down that hard work. That's praying for what others have done. then pray that God will bless you and use you as Jesus used the disciples right there to reap the harvest. And lastly, pray that those spiritually asleep will fully awaken, hear and receive the gospel. That's what we're to do. We're to pray. Prayer is talking with God. Sometimes it's talking with God while we're talking with somebody else. You ever have a conversation with more than one person at a time? Yeah. You know, I'm going to go and I'm going to be with you and we're going to talk to God together. That's prayer. And that's how we awaken those who are spiritually asleep. How we spiritually, are we awaken those who are far from God, who are spiritually broken. They need spiritual healing. While we may need to address the felt need, we need to enter into it. It's not our primary purpose. Our primary purpose is to address the real need that Jesus loves him. Loves him so much that he went and died on the cross for them, that they too might be redeemed and might be members of the family of God. Let's all stand as we're going to close by just praying together the doxology.